I have no relationships to disclose that I'm willing to discuss with you. That's such a funny statement. I'm here today to share with you results of a pilot intervention that evolved from a study that was done by the Cardiovascular Health Intervention Research and Translation Network. And I didn't read it. I actually, after several years, can say it. So. There were three principal investigators to this particular study and lots of other people involved. What we know, all of us who are here and interested in cardiovascular health, that healthy behaviors can reduce cardiovascular risk. We know that heart disease and stroke continue to be the leading causes of morbidity and death in adults in this country and other places as well. We know that we can reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease with healthy behaviors surrounding weight control, physical activity, smoking cessation, and good nutrition. But people don't, or can't, or won't make changes that lead to better cardiovascular health outcomes. And we have learned in a study that I will talk about very briefly, just to give you background, that in some cases, it is just having very busy lives that makes it hard to adopt healthy behaviors. The CHERTN, that's the easy name for that long network name, conducted what we called the Cardiovascular Health Perceptions Study in 2007 and 2008. It was a focus group or interview-based study among a number of sites, and I will tell you more about CHERTN in a minute. And the major findings of this qualitative study are there, that generally people have a high level of knowledge about cardiovascular health disease and risks, that the exception was in the case of newly immigrant populations where that level of knowledge was less. But in those populations where people had been in the country for a while and lived here and understood English primarily, people know what the risks are and they know what they should be doing. But there are structural barriers, some of which are really hard to address. And the one common barrier that we kept hearing about was that people, especially among women, that stressful life situations made it hard for them to do the things that they needed to do. Too busy to take care of themselves is really the core piece there. Let me tell you a little bit about that study very briefly. CHERTN was six members centers from the CDC's 33 plus prevention research centers, but six that were funded to work together on issues of cardiovascular health. We conducted focus groups in five of the six settings, and one setting chose to do key interviews with adults and families. There was some variation across sites as to how the information was collected. The long-term goal was to inform community-specific interventions and communications. So that study, with these findings that you see here, led to, with three of the sites, the development of a pilot study to see if we could address these issues surrounding busy lives and not taking care of oneself. So the study methods for the pilot, now I'm moving away, I don't want to confuse you, that original qualitative study was completed in 2007 and 2008 and led to this study. So now I'm talking about this pilot study. Quasi-experimental, pre-post kind of study, no control group. At each of three sites, and I will describe the sites, we conducted sessions with participants based on an intervention protocol. The primary outcomes of this study were not necessarily behavioral change. The primary characteristics for this study were whether it was feasible and acceptable to use this kind of program. Secondary outcomes were problem-solving skills, diet, physical activity, perceived stress, weight change, if appropriate. And we used descriptive and repeated measure ANOVA kinds of analyses. So here are the settings for this small pilot study. But they were sites in Colorado, North Carolina, and West Virginia. In Colorado, it involved Hispanic and non-Hispanic white adult women in the San Luis Valley, which is the partner community for the Prevention Research Center work at the University of Colorado, and this was a subset of that population. North Carolina, it was older black women. In West Virginia, it was men and women, adult men and women, in some cases, spouses. So we had a rural setting, a semi-rural setting, and a rural setting, but with very different ethnic characteristics. So the intervention itself, we called it Decide to Care for You. It evolved from an existing problem-solving intervention called Decide. And we conducted, in each of these three sites, we conducted a small number of focus groups, taking to them what our adaptation was of this study to see and to get their input into how best to deliver this kind of an intervention in their communities. And that what they told us was that group-based was good, and that that they were happy with lay leaders, and that the emphasis on problem solving was a useful exercise. So here are the, excuse me, here's what we offered to the participants. We offered helping them to identify what the problems were that were keeping them from healthier behaviors, helping them to set goals, helping them to identify options to achieve those goals, helping them establish plans to meet those goals, helping them evaluate their successes and failures, and then helping them focus on ways to continue beyond the end of the intervention. So here's what the groups looked like, and they are deliberately diverse. That there are so many differences there is not that we didn't do a good job of recruiting and getting similar people. It is that we were trying very hard to see if the particular setting made a difference, or more to the point, if this kind of program was acceptable in different kinds of communities. So you will see there's an age difference. Two of the sites specifically focused on women because it was women who in the earlier study were the ones who mostly had talked about this issue of having busy lives and not taking care of themselves because they were taking care of parents, jobs, children, all of the things that most men and every woman in this room would be quite familiar with. The ethnic diversity is deliberate. You can see that the University of North Carolina's population was older, had in some ways a less good health profile, had more health insurance, and were more likely to be retired. Hang on to some of those differences as we move ahead. So results, what did we find? Participants really liked the program. That was quite rewarding to hear, and certainly pleased our interventionists, who were lay leaders trained to do this. They went to a training session in Chicago from the people who had designed the original program from which this was adapted. But it was very nice to hear that the participants were happy with the program. You can see this. What this table compares is those who strongly agreed or were at the most positive end of every one of these characteristics. The left-hand column is those who somewhat agreed. So all of these are positive statements. The only areas in which they were not extremely positive were the areas around finding the focus on problem solving useful. But look at the difference between that and being successful with solving your own problems. That's probably not surprising for a number of reasons. It's easier to learn how to do it than to apply it. And this was an 8-week program, so people, you know, there just wasn't enough time to generate a great deal of success. They didn't lose weight in 8 weeks. That may or may not be surprising, but at least they didn't gain weight. But you can see there's a substantial difference in the weight by location. Can you read across the top where they are? The top group is men in West Virginia, the highly obese group. And you can see that the right-hand end poops out a little bit. In West Virginia, they combined several of the sessions. It was a timing issue. This was a pilot study. Our funding was running out. We had to run it as quickly as we could, and the way they could do that was to compress a couple of the learning sessions into one. Again, this was a pilot. This was trying to see if we could make it work functionally. They didn't lose weight, but they did benefit overall. The problem-solving abilities increased, stress dropped, fruit and vegetable servings increased, physical activity minutes per day increased slightly. But I'm pulling out the North Carolina data. North Carolina's had their participants had very high, very positive baseline attributes. So there was a ceiling effect there. If you pulled those out, the remaining sites had even more positive outcomes than you see in the top half of that schedule, that table. So there is that question, what was so different about North Carolina? So our speculation is around that these were more of these people were retired, they were older. They were recruited from a church. Colorado sample that I can speak most about was recruited at a work site. So you might think about the stress level involved. And they had better health behaviors at baseline. So it just may have been a better off group in terms of cardiovascular risk, and or at least in terms of the behaviors that would reduce cardiovascular risk than the other two. The numbers are so small and the time so short that we can only speculate. The other observation we have, which is one of the acceptability sorts of measures, is that almost 90% of the participants said that they had shared what they learned with somebody else even before the program was over. And in Colorado, at least, the interventionist, without support from the university, without funding from the university or from CDC, ran the program again, and because the demand was so high that people wanted it again. So we feel that this is a very positive program. Not sure exactly where it will go from here, but the idea that you could, in fact, address some of these essentially motivational issues in small group sessions, helping people to solve problems and set goals, I think is a very promising intervention. So acknowledgments to consultants who helped us, who helped us design the program, and to interventionists and folks who, and co-investigators, including Colleen McMillan in the audience here, who helped so much on the Colorado side, and our wonderful interventionists, without whom this would not have happened. Enthusiastic, creative, wonderful people. So thank you very much.